For the past decade, America's intelligence relationship with Egypt and other Arab nations has been almost exclusively about one thing, terrorism, and working together to prevent it. NPR's Rachel Martin reports that the uprisings in Tunisia, Egypt, and now Libya have forced U.S. intelligence agencies to rethink how they operate.
There's an understanding among intelligence professionals: expect the unexpected, and when it comes, adapt quickly.
The essence of an intelligence officer's job is basically to be prepared for surprise.
That's John McLaughlin. He was the number two at the CIA. McLaughlin says in Egypt and other countries in the region, intelligence officers are trying to answer a big question.
Who are the key players here? Who are the go-to people? In a way, it's mapping the influence systems in these countries, because ultimately the U.S. wants to have a relationship, an influential relationship.
Laying the foundation for that relationship means identifying the new power brokers and tracing their relationship to the government, institutions, and political groups. For a long time, the CIA's map of Egypt's power structure was drawn in ink. They knew the main players: President Hosni Mubarak, Omar Suleiman, the country's longtime chief of intelligence. Now Mubarak is out, so is Suleiman. And John McLaughlin says that power map has to be redrawn. The closest parallel to what's happening now is Eastern Europe, when the Iron Curtain fell. McLaughlin was running the Eastern European desk at the CIA back then.
We kept a running list every day of who was up and who was down. And we provided cards to people in the government saying, you know, today it's these five people, and tomorrow that's changed. These people seem to be gaining. So this is one of the first things you have to do.
Understanding who the power brokers are in these countries means understanding internal dynamics. CIA Director Leon Panetta talked about this when he testified before the House Intelligence Committee last month.
What I've asked for from all of my chiefs of stations is better collection on issues like popular sentiments, issues like the strength of the opposition, issues like what is the role of the internet in that particular country.
Former CIA officer Robert Grenier says those are the kinds of issues that U.S. intelligence operatives in the field haven't been spending a lot of time on.
In many of these countries, the primary and almost the sole preoccupation of the U.S. has been with regard to their cooperation against terrorism. And now we're having to take a much broader look at these societies to try to understand their domestic politics in ways that would not have been a priority in the recent past.
Intelligence professionals on the ground have to be able to do both, track domestic politics in these countries and work on terrorism. Thomas Finger is the former chair of the National Intelligence Council. He's now at Stanford University.
The pace of change, the magnitude of demands is going to make, you know, not much sleep.
If you're a case officer in Cairo, did your job just get a lot harder, more complicated?
Knowing who's going to be best informed about a situation in flux with high certainty is very hard. I'm glad it's not me.
Because there aren't discrete groups that you can go knock on their doors. We're talking about the whole population.
Yeah. Who's in charge in Egypt? The military is in charge of certain things, but who's in charge of what was happening out in the square? You can't look up in a phone book and get the name of the party, the company, the organization that is responsible for revolution.
That's pretty much what intelligence officers on the ground are trying to do right now. Build that new contact list. But even if you could identify the leaders of a leaderless uprising, it might not do much good when the situation in these countries is changing as fast as a Facebook news feed. Rachel Martin, NPR News, Washington.
All Things Considered continues in a moment.